Hello, everybody. It's me, Heimlich. I'm a cute little choo-choo train, and I want you to be safe. So pretty please, do stay seated with your hands, arms, wing, and legs, and all your feet inside while I take you on Main Street Mickey. I'm so sorry if that offended anybody. It wasn't intended. Unfortunately, that's his accent. I'm your ghost host.
That's right. You put a name to that. You let people know.
hey, listen. Accents have been done on this thing. It's not my fault that they literally put V's in the script I was reading.
Oh no. Okay. Well, I'm not surprised, and I'm your co-ghost host, Noah.
I'll be honest though, that my accent, I'm 99% sure it's meant to be a German accent.
Yeah.
And I do believe my German accent is so bad it cannot even count as a German accent. So
it's immediately categorized as satire, no matter what you do.
And satire is in quotations. Yeah. it's satire, as in like, yeah, I mean, technically.
As in, we're doing our best. Satire. Yeah.
Maybe that should be the tagline for Main Street Meckies.
Main Street Meckies, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about all things Disney. We're doing our best. That's I like that. Hey, real quick. I just heard something. Is your mic set to the right input? It sounds like your volume isn't changing when you get further away. It just sounds like a little echoier than last time.
Nope, it's not. I don't know if this will kill that.
It still sounded fine. It was just a little more echoey.
No, we can't do it because it's going off of my PS5 controller.
This is coming off your controller?
Yeah, okay, well, that's pretty good. I'm hoping it's not going to kill our recording. If not, we still have the recording, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it coming through?
Yeah.
Much better?
Yes, much better.
Okay, well, if you heard an audio difference there, listeners, my mic would come through the wrong place. So
yeah,
now we're good.
Good. An ad for the PlayStation 5. Listen to that quality.
Apparently, yeah, but pretty coming good through my PS5 controller that's plugged into my computer because I don't like using mouse and keyboard.
Nice. Okay, back on track.
Back on track. All right. Well, so I think we said that, I don't know if we said we were going to go crunchy this week or not, but that's not happening.
It's not happening. Yeah.
We're not going as crunchy because, one, we're on a little bit of needing a shorter episode time crunch.
A time crunch. That's where the crunch comes in.
Yeah, that's the crunch. It's our time. And two, the whole Disney community said goodbye to a well-beloved ride. And it's the right move, but still sad to see our good friend Splash Mountain go last week. So we figured, you know what? Yeah, we had like talked about doing a full episode Mouse Gear to Splash Mountain like a long time ago, but with them doing Tiana's, it sounded off. Like, it didn't sound like the correct, not even the correct, like not a worthwhile thing to do, because I would almost rather Mouse Gear to review the new one rather than talk about what we do to the ride that's already torn down for a whole episode. So instead we're gonna do kind of episode where we talk about our favorite memories of Splash Mountain, our favorite parts about Splash Mountain, just a little ode to Splash as it zippity doo does its way right out the door.
Nice. One inspiration for you.
Hey, there we go. There we go. Another nerd reference probably no one's gonna get. that's gonna be the episode. So we're just gonna talk about Splash for a little bit.
And you know, on that, you had to say goodbye to your Splash, but West Coast Splash doesn't even have
West
an expiration
Coast Splash
date
is
yet.
Still so, there, which is very kind of very weird. Funny to me. Yeah, that's very funny. Which means theoretically, I could ride Splash Mountain one more time.
I don't know how far in advance they announced the date for Disney World. Maybe it was like a month or two. So like,
They still could cut it, but if they wait a while on the Disneyland one, I could, and I probably will if it's still there. I will ride Splash one more time.
Oh, you'll have to.
Yeah. It's like required because it guaranteed won't. I mean, the next Disney trip we'll have after this one is going to be to World, so it won't be there, and
it will be gone, and it, you know, so you'll either not get to ride it in Disneyland, or if they wait long enough and continue to not perform maintenance on it because they know it's closing, you'll see what might be arguably the worst condition ever for Splash Mountain in Disneyland, because it's already kind of, you know, falling apart. So maybe you'll get to see that. Maybe just like two animatronics will be working. Maybe the water won't even be there. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, who knows? Like. Yeah. Maybe I'll get trapped on a log boat. Right. Let's stop bashing it, because this is an ode to, not a dunk session.
Not a dunk room.
So I wanted to start off with you, because you said you had like a couple like specific things in it, just like memories of Splash Mountain.
Yes. Okay. Good memories of Splash Mountain. So this was, oh gosh, I don't even know how long ago this was. I was probably 10, 11, 12. This was probably like my second time ever going to Disneyland. And I remember, first of all, when I learned that there were no seatbelts on Splash Mountain, it blew my little mind. Because I was like, how do people not? Like, my biggest fear on that ride was flying out during the drop and like, you know, falling into the abyss of the ride mechanisms or whatever. And so there was one day when I was there with my family, and I don't think we rope dropped Disneyland, but we got there like pretty shortly after the park opened. It was an overcast day. It wasn't super hot, and nobody was really going towards Splash Mountain. And I was like, I want to go to Splash Mountain. And my parents, being like rational adults, they were like, it's like 55 degrees out. No. but my sister, who was with us, was like, I'll go on it with you. So we walked on to Splash Mountain, no line. Rode it the first 55
degrees.
Because it was 55 degrees. It was like early morning. Everyone definitely went straight to like Space Mountain or, you know, the rides that you'd actually want to ride when the weather's not so great. We rode it the first time. I like white knuckled the handlebars on the side on the drop, and the picture, it's lost to, you know, the nothingness of time now, but it was probably me like squinting really hard and just like hanging on for my life. And then we get to the load station and the cast member is like, there's no one in line. Do you want to go on it again? And we're like,
so great.
We're like, yeah, we do. Okay. And so we went around the second time, and that time I was like, my sister was like, you can let go. You're not going to fall out of the log. Like, gravity still works even when you're going downhill. And so I like hovered over the handlebars and had my face up with like a semi-confident, like, I might be doing this right look. And then by the time we get to the load station, there might be, you know, six people in line. And the guy is just like, do you want to go one more time? So we stayed on Splash Mountain, rode it three times in a row, and by the third time, I had built up the confidence to like put my hands in the air and give a proper pose. And I think that was the picture that we ended up buying, and it's somewhere in my parents' stuff. But that's like the only time I've ever been on a Disney ride where they're like, you can just stay on. Like, no one's here. No one wants to ride this right now except for you for some reason. So have at it. So that's like my most prominent Splash Mountain memory, positive Splash Mountain memory. We'll get to the other side of that coin. But yeah, the only other thing I had, and I texted you this and I'm forgetting my own memories. Oh yeah. Well, maybe like high school-ish, went to Disneyland, and that was when I was becoming aware of like Imagineering being a thing and animatronics being a thing. And it just so happened that we rode Splash Mountain on a trip, and there were a good chunk of animatronics that were just like not feeling it that day.
Yeah.
They were like, some of them were in like a healthy pose and just not moving. Some just had like a solid snap in the spine and were just like, Like, we've all seen the riverboat at the end. We know what those chickens are capable of. And we went on once. We're like, wow, that was a lot. I wonder how many there were. And so my dad and I, the next time we rode it, we counted how many not functional animatronics we could find. And it just became a tradition from that point on, which doesn't speak too well to, like, the maintenance of Splash Mountain. But there's also, I don't know the number, but, like, probably hundreds of animatronics to take care of on that ride. So, understandable. That's how that positive tradition formed into a more not so positive one, but we had fun.
I mean, it's any of those old rides nowadays. Like,
yeah,
you do just kind of, they're fighting a losing battle with the animatronics on those. There's a shelf life to those things. They either need to be, like, full out replaced, or they're just constantly breaking down and being maintained. Mm-hmm. And but you full out replace them, you gotta full out replace all of them. You can't like, the amount of time, like, the ride needs to be fully down, you need to rework all the electrical, you need to add in programming if the animatronics weren't built with programming, which I doubt that the Disneyland any rides nowadays are still on the old version, like old version of animatronics.
Oh yeah, like the Tiki Room style of animatronics.
Yeah, like the Tiki Room style. I doubt that there's anything left on that.
Yeah,
but like that's kind of like what the business side of Disney has to take into account. Like, when people complain that, like, certain parts of the rides are down, or the Yeti animatronic is actually a pretty good example of this. Everybody's upset about that. I rode Everest when it was pretty new, and the Yeti was working when I rode it the first time. So it's like, it was really cool.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the amount of times that ride has gone down, they've had to fix it. It's gone down, and the Yeti, like, immediately breaks.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a vibrations thing, if it's just a size and complexity thing mixed with a lot of other factors. The thing breaks all the time. It does not add enough of a cool factor to justify taking Everest down, like, every few weeks for who even knows how long to fix the Yeti when it's completely fine as a statue. Now, I know some people aren't going to like that opinion. That's fine. I would rather, the scary part for me in Everest is when I'm going backwards, and the tension it builds when I'm sitting there waiting to go backwards. So that's the scary part. I don't care if the Yeti's a statue or if its arms move. Like, that's literally the only difference struck here. But the animatronics in Splash, they're super old, and there's only so much you can do when you're fighting a literal losing battle.
Yeah. And, like, with that, something interesting I'm looking forward to is when they do redo the Disneyland Splash Mountain, all the animatronics in there, like, it's fairly common Disney lore that, you know, all of the animatronics in there were in America Sings in Disneyland, and they're all recycled. And then, like, some of them went to Star Tours, and some of them were, like, repurposed for other things. But, like, as far as I know, all of those animatronics are, gosh, like, 40 years old? 30 to 40 years old? So is Disney planning on continuing to recycle and just, like, refresh some of them, maybe add a couple of new ones, or, you know, either that, the new ride just doesn't have as many animatronic figures and they are all new, or they just replace all of them and still have a lot of figures in the ride, which would be really expensive, I would imagine.
I bet it's going to be kind of somewhere in between. So it's like, and we haven't actually mentioned this on our podcast, which is still insane to me. but the leadership change happened while we were doing the Breaking Ground series. And
that's
so
true.
And I think maybe you and Johnny mentioned this at one point during the episode, but we haven't actually talked about the leadership change or the things that we were hoping to happen and, like, all that stuff. And now we're kind of, like, so far past it, it's not worth doing an episode on it. But I will say, like Noah, you and I have been sending texts back and forth You can't what? Expect me to see that and not pause.
What?
No, run it again. I'm reading this. So Noah found out that you can put banners on our streaming, on the thing we use to record. Run it again. There we go. And he runs this as I'm trying to talk. Breaking. Brer Rabbit found dead at his estate in the Briar Patch. Brer Bear and Brer Fox claim to have been walking around helping the elderly during the time of Mr. Rabbit's passing.
Thought I'd throw something in to catch up.
Is that going to be the only one, or are there many?
That's the only one. A taste of what I now know I'm capable of.
You can't expect me to still talk while that's running across. Anyways, we've been texting back and forth different news that we find, and like the the harmonious barges being just taken out, the increase of parking, the removal of guest parking, the removal of the guest parking charge at the deluxe resorts, the inclusion of the ride photos for everybody that has, not even everybody that has Genie Plus, every guest. Whereas that was something they literally were just making money on. You had to either buy a ride photo or pay for the photo pass. And now they're just giving that to people. That's just, you just have it.
That's the Iger way.
It's a really good sign that, I know they're little things, but then there's things opening. There's projects moving forward. There is money being reallocated. Disneyland had the number of cheapest days increased like a ton. Mm-hmm. And so all of these are signs that they are, I know there's a lot of people that were kind of feeling that that there was less of a focus on the guest experience and more on the guest's wallet. Mm. And Disney has always made more money focusing on the experience than they ever have focusing on the wallet.
Yeah.
And I mean, it showed, because they focused on the wallet with JPEG. JPEG's whole job was to get them through COVID, to budget cut, and to his job was penny pinching. That was why JPEG was brought in. And then it was a little funny to me when Disney leadership was surprised when he continued to penny pinch as time went on. Like, that's what the dude did. And I will say, he did it really well. Is it good for the company's future? Absolutely not. It's not how they function.
Mm-hmm.
And so these signs, this is a long-winded way to say, I couldn't imagine them taking down a ride like Splash Mountain and then trying to save a buck by repurposing old animatronics.
Yeah.
Especially seeing what they did with Frozen Ever After and Epcot. Like, they redid, there was animatronics the Norway ride in the Maelstrom. But they didn't reuse those, or they didn't just sit there reusing those. They brought in not just new animatronics, brand spanking new technology and beautiful, beautiful scenery and new tech galore. And it was on a ride in the Norway Pavilion in Epcot. Like, that, as much as people love Frozen, that's no Splash Mountain. That's no Splash Mountain at all. Yeah. And so, I mean, the plans they got for Splash, I do hope, I would be more than okay with a lower amount of animatronics if they make just the scenery just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's that kind of from the plan seemed like where they were going. And I think that's fantastic. That is, because there is such a long, like, float through part of the ride, which is great. I love that part of the ride, but you need stuff to look at and not just funny robot animals. Like, you need scenery to look at. It kind of like Navi River Journey. Like, that's the coolest part of Navi River Journey, is floating through the scenery, and you need that. And so I really hope that if they're going to not do as many animatronics, that's fine with me. Just nail the scenery and update what you got, and you'll get more than the amount of money it would take to get some of those old animatronics working. It honestly would probably cost them more to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, it's really quality over quantity in that case. And you can see it, like in the Disneyland Splash Mountain today, if you go through one of the scenes on Splash Mountain and there are three animatronics in a row that are dead or just like not moving or their spotlights are off, you've got nothing else to look at. Like, it's gonna feel empty. But if you've got a ride where you have fewer animatronics but way more detail put into the scenery, it'll be like River Journey almost, where if the shaman at the end is in B mode and covered up or something, like, yes, it's a bummer, but you still got to see like beautiful scenery the whole time, and that's not the whole show. Whereas that's kind of the case with Splash Mountain. They just doubled down on like, okay, we'll just have a lot of animatronics so that if one's down, it's not as noticeable. But now we're at the point, now we're at the point where it's like half of them are down and you can see it. And there's also, you know, not as much to look at or not as much detailed stuff to look at. And yeah, I don't want to rag on Splash Mountain too much, because like, it is, how old is Splash Mountain at this point?
Oh, that's actually a good... I'm gonna do the Disneyland one.
Okay, I'll look up Magic Kingdom.
So the one in Disneyland was opened July 17th, 1989.
Sheesh.
So okay. We are looking at almost looking at a 40-year-old ride.
80, yeah. Wow.
Do you want to know the crazy thing is, though?
Huh.
Okay, not counting the Matterhorn, but like the main, the three mountains that are, that make up, are both on World and Land.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I mean, Thunder is older than it by 10 years.
Sheesh. That seems, that's crazy.
And Space Mountain was opened on
Space Mountain was 2 years before,
yeah, 2 years before before Thunder, Thunder was yeah, was 79. Space.
Wow.
So Space is the oldest of them, which I would say if Space feels old in theme,
mm-hmm,
but it also benefits from the fact that the lights are off.
That's,
I would say Thunder, I would have expected to be the newest out of all of them.
That's interesting, because I knew it Thunder was like
aged well.
Matterhorn, Magic Kingdom, Space Mountain, Disneyland, Space Mountain, and Matterhorn. Wow.
Matterhorn,
Thunder.
Or, yeah.
Matterhorn's so, the oldest.
Matterhorn's 59, and then from the sounds of it, it's, gosh, Disney World, Space Mountain, Disneyland, Space Mountain. Wait, yeah, because 77 was Disneyland Space Mountain, and then Thunder, and then Splash.
Gosh.
And I'm not sure when was the Disney World Splash?
Disney World Splash was 92.
Yeah, so just a few years after. Yeah, so I did not expect, you would, wow, you would not think looking at Splash that it is the youngest out of the mountains.
But still 30 years old. Still, like 30.
Oh, no. 31, we're 30. For the World one, yeah, we're looking at 30. For the
For land,
it's still 30, but I mean, it's 36. It's gonna be... mm-hmm. 36.
That's nuts.
Okay. No, 34. 34. I can't add. Oh,
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. But wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. Well, I don't really have many memories like specific instances. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't ride the ride three times just on a loop.
Sorry. Can't all be three-peats over here.
But it was always like a favorite for my family and I. I mean, we always liked hitting the Triple Mountain. Was always just fun. Mm-hmm. I think our favorite was always Big Thunder out of the three of them.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat. We would ride it at night. It would be awesome. You ride it at like, I mean, this is all roller coasters, but like Big Thunder was always fun. It's like you ride it at the front sometimes, you ride it in the far back and just get the just sheer whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
But Splash was always just kind of a, it wasn't our favorite one, but it was always a fun one. And the music was always something we would like. The zippity doo dah was always something we'd listen to before trips to kind of like get us for trips.
Same.
And trying to think exactly about this one because it or this specific memory. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went because I can't remember who I was riding next to. I think it was Nathan and I. So it was always, we would always make fun of other people for wearing ponchos on Splash Mountain because why even go on it if you're going to wear a poncho? Eventually I do think my mom started wearing a poncho, but
yeah, understandable.
So Nathan and I, we would usually ride in front of our parents because we actually wanted to get wet and wanted to get splashed. And so, but we figured out something one time, when we didn't want to get wet, that you could very easily do that because of the shape of the dome or like the dome in front. Uh-huh. The shape of it was meant to kind of splash you, your upper body.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like parallel with where the thing was.
There was
an arc to it. And if you were in the front couple rows, you could not get soaked at all. Like you could be dry to the bone.
If you just duck enough.
If you just ducked in front of them. Like if you just put your head down to the rest.
Yeah.
And right let it go over you. Hit the water, it would go right over you into the faces of the people behind you.
Oh my
gosh. And so my parents were sitting behind us and we hit the drop. And Nathan and I had decided beforehand this is what we were going to do. And we drop down and just my parents had no idea we had figured this out. It's not like it was like a weird hack or anything like that. It's just we hadn't thought of it. They hadn't thought of it. And so right before we hit the water, we duck down. We hear my mom and dad scream as they just get buffeted with essentially as if they were sitting in the front row, if not a little bit worse, of like all the water as it's hitting them. There was no way a poncho could save them. And they were just drenched. Meanwhile, Nathan and I are bone dry, no issues. Feeling great. And so I do remember that one. And then the other memory I have with it, and this was like it wasn't a bummer, but it was like a bummer memory that went good. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in high school, sophomore year, I think I mentioned this before, I was in the DECA club.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a business club. And we had our nationals conference in Orlando one year. And my buddy and I, we qualified for it. And this was the same. I think we've done the food memories. I've talked about Charlie and the steak.
Yes.
I can't remember if that was the lost episode or if that might have been the lost episode.
I think
so. My buddy had a steak. He also had a like acid reflux at the time, and he ate cheese soup, an entire steak, and like half of like my dad's steak, I think, because my dad asked him if he wanted his other half because they didn't
absolute
want
to take unit,
and he ate it. And by the end of the day, he had eaten like a sleeve and a half of Tums just to get through the rest of the day. He was popping those things like Advil. It was horrific. But we had a couple days where the entire group of us students got to go to Disney World. And so we did, I'm trying to remember what parts we did. We did double day and we did Epcot and Hollywood. And we also did Magic Kingdom. I can't remember if Epcot was Epcot to Magic Kingdom or if it was, but I kind of remember at least doing Test Track, but I'm not 100% certain on that. I know for a fact we did Hollywood because we forced our advisor to ride Tower of Terror with us, and it was really fun.
Nice.
But the Magic Kingdom day did not go well. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people there, and we walked pretty much in circles for like 4 hours. Because every time we get to one ride, people wouldn't like the ride line. And so we go to another ride, but we go the longest way there. And every time I tried to point out that we could go this way and get there faster, it wasn't going over well, that being pointed out. So there was a little bit, it was a little bit of a contention, it was a thing.
Yeah.
But I still remember, so eventually it was an advisor and then somebody helping our advisor. And our advisor, because she was noticing when I was saying we could just hop through this and go there, and then we'd loop all the way around. Like, there's a junction between Frontierland and Adventureland.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's just pop through here, because we were trying to go to Pirates. I was like, let's just pop through here. And the person helping the advisor was like, no, the map says go here. We're going this way.
Oh, no.
And so we went all the way into the hub, and then we looped all the way back and went through the entrance of Adventureland. And then my advisor saw
the shortcut
place I had pointed out was right there as we passed it. So eventually she told me to start moving people around. So I got people to fireworks, and we got a really good spot for the fireworks. And then the people who stuck with me for fireworks having a great time, like totally got it. I think we rode like a couple rides right after fireworks, and then we went back. Ended up being a good end to the day. And then the Hollywood day, we like ate at the Wilderness Lodge. So it was like,
nice.
By the end of it, everybody was sold. It was a rough beginning though.
Yeah.
Definitely would have done things differently if I was taking people to Disney, because it was not the best. But yeah. A few people split off because they didn't want to see fireworks. They wanted to ride some dang rides. Mm-hmm. And so my buddy and one of our friends went straight to Splash Mountain at 9 o'clock at night during the fireworks. They rode it, I believe, 5 times. If I remember correctly, by the time that we got to them, because essentially they looked at our advisor and said, hey, we're going to Splash, come get us when you're done.
We will be there.
Before she had any chance to say no, they were gone.
They were off.
And so and she just like looked at me. I'm like, they can't go anywhere. Like, we're their ride home. There's no way for them to get home.
Yeah.
Just watch the fireworks. They're fine.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they rode it. They just literally just went on rotation, walked down the queue for a bit, just so it was enough that the cast members couldn't say, hey, you guys are cutting the line. And then they pop over, and then they run back on, then they get back onto it. So they just get down far enough so that they could pop under, because nobody was getting in line. Like, it was, they weren't cutting anybody. There was nobody in line. And so they were just skipping the whole like walking back and forth,
and forth stuff. Yeah.
And so, we get back and they are just drenched, just dripping onto the ground and just kind of looking like drowned rats. But they were having a fantastic time.
Happy rats. Yeah.
It was a fantastic time. And then we did Hollywood later on in the trip, and it was a great day at Hollywood. Like, we did the Star Wars rides and all this kind of stuff. And there was a few people that were big Star Wars fans in the group. And so it's always a weird memory for me, because the other half of that trip, where it was just me and my friend, was one of my favorite trips I've taken, just because it was so much fun to just be there with a friend. I'd always been there with family.
Yeah.
And so, it's just a weird memory, because I remember being like kind of sad and frustrated, because it felt like showing somebody your house and then like not vibing with it very well.
Yes.
And so, but by the end of it, they watched Wishes and it was fantastic. Yes, that was still, I believe Wishes was still there.
Okay.
When did Wishes, let me fact check that. It wasn't Happily Ever After.
Let's see, Wishes.
August or final showing. Okay, so then what was after? What was after Wishes?
It says Happily Ever After.
When did Happily Ever After start?
This says 2017.
There was a fireworks show in between that. 100%. We graduated high school in 2016. They didn't do just no fireworks from 2007 to 2016.
Let's see. Wishes. Well, this Wikipedia is off then. It's got just like Wishes immediately followed by Happily Ever After.
Hmm. Now I have to look this up. There's probably somebody just screaming at their phone right now. Just like, what has happened? What are they doing? What firework shows have been at Disney World? Okay, I got a list now.
Okay.
Okay, so that's Disneyland, Magic Kingdom. No, it did go to 2017. Yes, I'm looking at this right now. This is the Disney fandom wiki. Fantasy in the Sky went to 2003. Wishes was 2003 to 2017. Happily Ever After was 2017 to 2020. Then again for one day in 2020 or a few months in 2021. And now it's coming back in April of 2023. And then there's Enchantment, which was October to April of 2023. So it went to 2017. I know Wishes had a name change at some point, so maybe that was what was going on.
Oh, okay.
But there was one called Celebrate the Magic, but I don't believe that is the one that we saw. Wow, there have been a lot of them, actually.
There have been. I'm looking at a list as well. That's
I do not believe Celebrate the Magic was the one we saw, though. No. No. But we did see Wishes. I am 99% sure we saw Wishes, because we weren't going during a weird holiday time, and Celebrate the Magic was only for... I guess it was for 4 years.
Oh.
But also during the same time as Wishes.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. Premiered the show. It was 2017. Huh. Weird. Okay. But yeah, those are my couple favorite memories at Splash. That was kind of like the moment that the trip started to change, which was
good. Some friends with questionable taste in when to go on Splash Mountain and how many times, although I'm not
they just wanted a ride and it was empty. And that's I think at that point there was an app. I do believe was an app at that point. So like you could check, and Splash Mountain was like 5 minutes. And I was like,
dead.
They looked at me as like, does 5 minute mean 5 minutes? I'm like, no, 5 minutes is the lowest it can go.
And five minutes is like nothing.
It's like, that means that's the 5 minutes it takes you to get to the ride,
because to walk through the queue.
And they're like, so if we run, it's gonna be faster. I was like, I mean, yes,
that's true.
It's like, yes, that is in fact true.
Nice. But, well, good memories, and all in all, sad to see Splash Mountain go, because it's been around the entire time we have existed.
Yeah.
And but super excited to see how Princess and the Frog turns out. And also,
it's such a smart move.
It's gonna be so good. And like I was talking to Molly about this yesterday. It's insane that Princess and the Frog has been a thing for so long, and Disney is just now being like, we do have a New Orleans themed land in one of our parks. Maybe we should put some Princess and the Frog stuff in there.
Well, and it's like Critter Country in World is like Splash Mountain.
It's just Splash
There's
Mountain.
No reason to have
That's
it.
That's true. I mean, it's in like Disneyland.
Just change it to New Orleans.
Yeah, it used to be more in Disneyland, and then they got rid of it for Galaxy's Edge. So Critter Country was also just Splash Mountain, and I guess like the Hungry Bear restaurant, but we'll see how long that lasts as well. With like
that seems like a theme. Really good place to put like a jambalaya.
Oh yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Well, so I wanted to do and throw the theme music in here. A little pseudo mouse geared.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So maybe not a full one. I don't know. We'll see how much it takes. But they're already doing Tiana for. And Princess Frog for Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
We're going to remove that as the option, even though it is absolutely the best option. But what would you do? What Disney property or concept would you do instead of Princess and the Frog. So how would you, Splash Mountain has closed. Yeah. How are you as an Imagineer reskinning it? As if let's say Princess and the Frog is being used somewhere else. So you can't use it on this one. Oof. What are you doing for this?
I'm doing Lilo and Stitch. I'm doing the Hawaiian roller coaster ride with a big drop at the end, and your vehicle is a giant surfboard that doesn't quite look like a surfboard. It's hollow in the middle, but
it would have like
questions.
A surfboard look. Yeah.
Yeah, no, a surfboard look. You could do it. I think like thematically.
I like that.
It wouldn't work with the surrounding areas, but if I was given this ride and I'm still appalled at the lack of Stitch content. I don't want to talk about Stitch's Great Escape. The lack of Stitch content in the parks, then I would want to toss that in there. I think there's something there.
I like that. That's a good one. That's a really good one. I think, okay, I kind of have like a answer that's not good, an answer that's weird, and an answer that probably would be the actual one.
Okay.
Okay. So, the answer that's not good could be a good spot for an Atlantis ride, but that movie's so old, it's not a good call.
Yeah, I'd love that though.
But like changing the outlook to be like kind of look like the temple, all the underground areas that could become like super cool.
Yeah.
And like going through the city of Atlantis and going through like the ruins with the crystals, like the ride vehicles, all of it would be awesome. Super cool. But that's an old movie. It's a classic. It is not a new movie, and it's not one that most kids are going to see. You'll run into another instance of Splash Mouse. Like, where is this from? Except you'll be okay showing it rather than Splash Mountain, which does not have that ability.
Yeah.
My weird idea was to turn it into like a Disney vault tour kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
To where you're going past like all these old things. Splash Mountain being one of them. So like turn it into like a roller coaster museum, I guess. I said I had ideas. I didn't say I had good ideas.
No, it sounds like Johnny's idea from Breaking Ground for the, I don't remember what we called it, but his like Hall of Fallen Heroes ride.
Yeah, kind of like that. Not as sad, but
yeah, not as death filled. Maybe
like think of a one man's dream, but you drop at the end.
One man's dream, but wet and with a drop.
Wet and with a drop.
What go ahead.
Well, the actual, like the one that I actually think they would do is reskin it. Like you can throw Luca in there pretty easily.
Oh yeah.
Just there's underwater sections, piddling around the Italian city. It doesn't work in Magic Kingdom per se, because it requires, if I could pick up that ride mechanic and put it in Italy in Epcot.
Yeah. Oh like, yeah.
Same ride, but Luca. Yeah. And then there's a scene in Luca. It's the kind of like climax scene where he is going down a hill while it's raining.
Like the big race.
On the bike in the big race. And having that be the drop would be really cool. Because I mean, you're
super cool.
Just having a bunch of like hoses and stuff just spraying people as they're going down, and it would be. I feel like there's actually like some room to go on that.
That would be super cool. I told you that I finally watched that, right?
Yes, you did. It's a fantastic movie. Right?
It is a fantastic movie. That would be super cool.
It's so slept on.
Yeah, it is. That I would love that though.
We need Luca stuff in some things.
Yeah.
Luca and Onward. And Coco. I demand all three.
Look.
I haven't seen Encanto, but I know everybody's like, I have not seen Encanto.
Oh.
I know everybody's like super, super hyped on Encanto, but listen, I'm just saying, three Caballeros, put a ride in Italy. Dinoland USA is going away anyways.
Just
scrap three Caballeros and put Coco in it. That's where that goes now. It's
Onward
great idea.
Can go in Dinoland.
Onward takes that entire land. Just fantasy Disney. Just that's it. Beastly
make
Kingdom
it happen.
It's back right there.
Yes,
right there. and then Luca just make a ride in Italy.
Just make the space.
Make it Splash Mountain and have them go down the hill.
I'll end on this note, which is somewhat related, but I was looking at like a Google Maps view of Disney World, and it's insane how much space there still is there. Like, I get it. It's hard to build there because it's a swamp. But like, it's just nuts that if there's anything new in Disneyland in the next forever, it's going to come at the price of getting rid of something else. Mm-hmm. But in Disney World, there's so much space to just like go outward. Like, I think it's Magic Kingdom is the one case where when you look in the app and you look at the map and it shows the whole park surrounded by trees, like in Disneyland, that's just a joke because, you know, it's surrounded by like all of Anaheim hotels. And LA and hotels. Yeah. But in Magic Kingdom, that's literally what it looks like.
Yeah.
There's not so
it's trees. I don't
know. It's
some parking lots and stuff like that.
Some parking lots. Yeah. Not to say that demolishing trees is like an easy thing to do or an ethical thing to do.
Or like you should just do it. But like
but it's just like there's so much room for expansion. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, the city board or the board
Reedy Creek.
Yeah, they cleared it was two minor parks, one full park. And multiple hotels. So who knows?
That will be a topic for a future episode.
We could have just a full just called shots episode of you and I trying to
we'll try and say Simpsons
it's like, okay, it's recorded here. What's the next 10 years for Disney? That would actually be very fun.
I'm writing this down in our list.
Okay. Yeah, no, actually that would be a very fun episode to do of, okay, we're going to map out the next 10, 15 years of Disney, the big events we think are going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a good ode to Splash.
I think so. We're seeing her off into the sunset with dignity.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us today, for spending, we ended early, about 50 minutes of your time with us, and... if you like the show and you want to hear more of it, we got plenty of episodes behind this, over 50 now. Breaking Ground series where we design our own Disney theme parks. There's Mouse Geared where we do an actual like in-depth version of what we did at the end of the episode. And there's also Pieces of Disney History, which we go history of rides and the parks and specific topics. And I don't think I missed any of our bits. I think that's all of them.
I think so.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we got a few. And if you like the show, we'd love to see an Apple Podcast review. We'd love to see. You can leave an Apple Podcast review.
And we would love to see them. Yeah.
And we'll read it out on the show and give you a call out, especially if you have your own Disney podcast. I know we kind of like mix around in the community a lot, like Disney podcasters listen to Disney podcasts. If that's you, mention who you are in your review and you'll 100% get a shout out from us for your show and all that kind of good stuff. So definitely just share the love there and help everybody get seen for the awesome stuff they make. I think that's it.
And with that ding, thank you all so much for joining us and for listening in. And until next time, have a magical day.
I don't.
Oh,
and did you just teleprompter me with the little banner?
Are you going to disregard it?
Oh, bye, folks. Was that supposed to be in that accent?
I wanted to see what you did. I don't know. It's open to interpretation. Oh, bye, folks.
Hey, bye.